The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And I was building your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. This is Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is November the 23rd, 2015. It's a Monday afternoon, kind of a chilly day here in North Carolina. I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but I welcome the cold. I really do. I welcome this cold weather. Got a lot of things to talk about today. We'll try to get through them all. Not sure if we'll be able to go into each and every news item that I have chosen for today's program, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best. Just some network news. I'm not sure if Tando Radio program. Oh, I just got a message from Dave. Yes, they will be on air today. Tando Radio show at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Go and check out the archives. All the archives from yesterday's live streaming here on the network have been posted. That will be Time for Awakening Radio, Political Prisoner Radio, and the Lotus Place all broadcast live on the station last night. And as I just stated, those podcasts have been posted. Let me give out the telephone number in case there's some news you would like to report, some observations that you would like to share with us on any other stories or some other stories that, you know, perhaps is under the radar right now and we need to know about it. But the telephone number to the conference line is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code, of course, is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. You can choose to just listen, or you can comment by hitting star 6 and 1. That'll signal me, your host, and I will certainly get your call on air. You can also use the web-based flash phone to make a free call from anywhere in the world. As long as you got a pair of headsets with a microphone attached to it, you can get in without any kind of charges whatsoever by using the web-based flash phone. And finally, the last way to get in to the program, get through to the program, is to give us a call at 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. All right, so some of the things that caught my eye in the news over the weekend, you got Donald Trump's thugs attacking a black man, a lone black man, who was by himself at a recent Trump campaign rally venue event. And this was happening in Alabama, and this black man went, and he was chanting Black Lives Matter, and the Trump thugs didn't like that, and they decided to use violence against this young man. And this is a running theme with Trump supporters of you know, engaging in violent acts against non-white people, against black people. So it's a pattern here. And of course, Trump, he didn't denounce the violence or anything like that. So we'll take a listen into a couple of clips I'll prepare about that story. Also, shortly before this black man, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but the black man that was attacked by these Trump supporters in Alabama, Trump had hired a black woman and Tea Party activist. Her name is Katrina Pearson. She hails from Dallas, Texas, and she was just hired as the national spokesperson for his campaign. And I actually published an article on proxyracism.com, one of the new media properties of the Black Talk Media Project, and trying to inform people about racism and how it works. So we published an article yesterday about her being named as his national spokesperson. We also questioned how difficult her job was going to be, given all of the racist rhetoric coming from her boss. Not to say that, and this woman is fairly new to me. I had never heard of her before. So I did a little research, background research on her. And of course, you know, we can't blame her for any racism connected to the Trump campaign or even Ted Cruz, as she was a Ted Cruz supporter before she became a Trump supporter. We can't blame her for any racist rhetoric coming out from those people that she supports. But we certainly can call her judgment into question, call her priorities into question. And she made proxyracism.com. She became an entry on proxyracism.com and entered into our Proxy Racism Watch List database because of something she said. She said that, you know, she pretty much insinuated that Trump offered her some of the best buttery butter biscuits out there, and you know, he made her an offer she couldn't refuse. And so, you know, again, we're not blaming her for any racist rhetoric, but we will be keeping an eye on her. And of course, she hasn't said anything, and you know, I guess she's taking a couple of days to acclimate to her new position. But you know, she hasn't said anything on Twitter or through her blog about this black man being attacked. So thought that was pretty interesting. It'll be interesting to watch how she handles her job as the spokesperson for one of the most blatant, over-the-top, racist people out there. And I'm not even going to call Trump a racist suspect. You know, you cease to become a suspect when you confirm to us that you are racist. And certainly the things that have come out of his mouth indicates that he practices racism along with religious bigotry. As I understand, he wants a database that all Muslims should be registered in that are living in the United States. He also called for a lot of surveillance of them, as if that isn't already happening. So, I thought it would be interesting to talk about, you know, Katrina Pearson and proxy racism in general. Black men in Chicago, they participated in a demonstration in the snow over the weekend. It's snowing up north. I know my family members in Detroit posted some photos to social media of the snow they were getting in Detroit, and Pierce Chicago's getting blanketed by snow as well. We have to really look out for our homeless people when this kind of weather starts to set in, because there are millions of homeless people throughout the United States who are not being helped, even though they need the most help. And so, you know, we definitely want to keep them on our minds as the winter season starts to settle in across the country. But you had these black men who went out in the snow and holding hands and singing songs and calling for calm in Chicago ahead of the release of this video showing Chicago cop Jason Van Dyke shooting 17-year-old Laquan McDonald 16 times in the back. So, you know, I made an audio clip of some of the things they had to say, and we'll listen to that. We actually published a news article over the weekend in the blog section on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com about Chicago cop Jason Van Dyke, a white male who has a history, according to the complaints that have been filed against him, of using racial slurs in addition to his excessive force. And so now it has culminated in him gunning down a 17-year-old unarmed black teenager, 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. So we'll take a look at that story. Big shout out to the group of Detroit activists. I think they are going under the hashtag New Era Detroit. Shout out to Sister Ife up there in Detroit. She's been on the program before. She's an activist. And, you know, she had posted a lot of photos. She participated in the event. But these group of activists in Detroit shut down a convenience store after the clerk pointed what turned out to be a toy gun at two black children. There were a 14-year-old and 11-year-old who were in the store when this clerk, for reasons that he can't seem to fully explain, decided it would be a good idea to pull a gun out on these children. Also, a black woman's video, I don't know her name, but she's in a video which has gone viral where she states that racism is not a feeling. Yeah, I would certainly agree with her, as I talked about that last Friday when people say, you know, well, black people feel that, you know, they're being discriminated against or terrorized or anything like that. It's not a feeling. No, it's not a feeling. We do not feel oppressed in this country or throughout this world or on this planet. We know we are being oppressed. It's more than just about a feeling, as they say. And this black woman, she took to social media and went on what some people are calling an epic rant. But, you know, I don't want to attribute her comments to a rant. I would just simply say that, you know, she had a statement to make about racism and about racists. And so we'll take a listen to what she had to say. There's a couple of things I noticed that she said that I think that many of us need correction on, and hell, I need correction. So it's not about, you know, being petty or anything like that. It's just, you know, putting out correct information, using correct terms, using correct words and whatnot to describe, you know, what is happening in this country, what is happening throughout the planet. Speaking on international news, a Israeli police officer, it was actually more than one, but Israeli police officer who was caught on video, I think this happened over the summer, but he was caught on video, a video that went viral, beating up, brutalizing a Palestinian American. So this is a teenager who lives in Florida, but he's of well, I can't say he's a Palestinian descent, because Palestinian refers to a nationality. So I guess we would say he's Arab, of Arab descent. But anyway, he was beat down. He was beat down by police. This was caught on video in the occupied territory of Palestine. And this Israeli police officer got a pretty much slap on the wrist. And this slap on the wrist that this Israeli police officer received from the Israeli courts solicited a rebuke from the Obama administration, in a rare rebuke of the Israeli government. And but, you know, little else coming from the State Department, just, you know, oh, that's not that, you know, that's sending the wrong message and whatnot. But, you know, I don't expect them to do anything else about it. So that's some of your news that I picked up on over the weekend that I thought would be worth discussing here on air today. Again, if you have any news to report, any observations you would like to share, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. And, of course, hit *61 to come in on air, or give us a call on the studio line at 704-951-5030. All right, so let's go ahead and cue up this clip. This is Donald Trump telling Black Lives Matter protester to get the hell out of his house, I guess is what he said. This, again, comes out of Birmingham, Alabama, at a Trump event that was held there over the weekend. But this isn't an isolated event, I should say. We're seeing a pattern in practice and whatnot. So let's go ahead and give this clip a listen, as well as listen to the clip of the black man actually being, you know, escorted out of the event after he was attacked.
We're winning all over the country. We're winning in Ohio against Kasich, who's totally overrated, by the way. We're winning all over. Do I hear somebody over there? You know, you have one guy over there shouting. We have thousands of people, and you'll read about him tomorrow. They'll say, oh, the room had a picket. All right, yeah, get him the hell out of here, will you, please? Get him out of here. Throw him out. No, we had it the other day. I got criticized. We had it the other night. I had a lot of people, and one guy who was seriously obese, he complained when I mentioned that food stamps, we have a lot of people on food stamps. And the guy went crazy. And they said that wasn't politically correct. Who cares? We all have a weight problem. Yeah, you can get him out. Yeah, get him out. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here. Get out. Get him out of here. Did you see Bernie Sanders? See, he was politically correct. Two young women came up to the podium. They took over his microphone. I promise you that's not going to happen with me. I promise. Never going to happen. Not going to happen. Can't let that stuff happen.
Get out of here. Hey, go.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Hey, yo, man. Get out of here, man.
Fuck
everybody in here that want me to leave. I care about my
So you heard Trump there in the background. You also heard the black protester who was there wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt and talking about Black Lives Matter and saying that, you know, he's there for his son's future and whatnot. And let me say this. I watched the video and the police actually, I don't know if they were actual police or security guards or what have you. But they had badges, they had guns. It looked like they had guns or tasers and whatnot. And you actually heard somebody, a white woman on there, telling the police to tase the man. So I just want to say this. The police or the security guards that was involved in that, from what I could see, they showed restraint. They showed restraint. Not that they did their job without resorting to violence. Let me just put it that way, okay? But here's the thing, though. What you did not hear in the video, but there are some photographs circulating showing that this man was assaulted. He was violently assaulted by some of Trump's thugs. At that rally, said that he was on the ground, had about 9 people on top of him, kicking him, kicking him and beating on him and stuff like that. And so, this is just a common pattern and theme that we see going on in relation to Trump supporters. Now, another thing that I want to talk about is, do you feel like that's constructive on the part of black people to go to a Trump rally or go to any of these rallies and, protest at the rallies and try to disrupt the speakers and whatnot? I could see, for example, the Bernie Sanders event that you heard Trump speak about, and, Trump accused him of being politically correct because he didn't have the 2 women thrown off the stage or accosted by security and forcibly removed. But he let them have their say and whatnot. And then shortly after that, he hired someone for his campaign I wouldn't say they were in Black Lives Matter, but they were described as Black Lives Matter, a Black Lives Matter supporter, a black woman out the Baltimore area who is a criminal justice activist. And so he hired this woman, then he started coming out with these bills and platform addressing some of the issues. So certainly we could say that perhaps if we, want to give credit to those 2 women, and say that, that was constructive, as we see the reaction by the Sanders campaign in addressing those issues brought up by people associated with Black Lives Matter and whatnot. And so I guess we could say that was constructive. We also saw the Hillary Clinton campaign be subject to those disruptions and whatnot. But Donald Trump said a long time ago, after, the initial interruption by Black Lives Matter people at these presidential candidate venues, that, he wasn't going to be the one, that he will fight them. And then he said, if I don't fight them, somebody will fight them. And that's what we've seen. That's what we've seen, and for all the people out there that say, that when black people demonstrate or when they protest, whether it's out in the streets, or as individuals telling them to keep it nonviolent, as we will see, in the later story I'll bring up about the Chicago men coming together and telling the city and, everybody to remain calm and no violence and whatnot. But black people are frequently told to be nonviolent, don't be tearing up stuff, don't be committing acts of violence and whatnot. But when it comes to these people, like these Trump thugs and whatnot, you don't see Trump coming out telling people to be nonviolent. Even after 2 of his supporters, and they, were self-described as Trump supporters, in Boston, attacked a homeless Hispanic man with a lead pipe, and, they eventually were charged with crimes and whatnot. They even gave a statement to the police saying that Donald Trump was right. We got to do something about these illegal immigrants. And turns out the homeless Hispanic man wasn't even an undocumented immigrant or anything like that. But we didn't hear, any mass calls for nonviolence among, these Tea Party types, these Trump supporters and whatnot. And again, this isn't the first time that his reporters have been linked to violence. It isn't the first time. And so, this is just pretty interesting that they like to hold people to certain standards that they don't even hold themselves to. So, but again, though, I'm kind of got mixed feelings about this black man who was assaulted. Not mixed feelings about him personally, about mixed feelings about whether or not, well, I know I wouldn't. I would not put myself in that position to where I'm being violently attacked and assaulted by these people. And of course, you should know that that's likely to happen whenever you're dealing with a whole bunch of low IQ rednecks and whatnot. And, you know, this is down there in Alabama. And so I just couldn't do it. You know, I'm kind of looking at this the way Malcolm X was looking at the nonviolent demonstrations that was going on during the 60s. And he was saying, you know, we think it's foolish for people to allow themselves to be beat down and you know, attacked with dogs and whatnot. So I don't think that I would place myself in such a position. Let's see. We do have a caller. Give me just a moment as I work to connect the caller. Sometimes this software just Skype been acting up here lately. Caller, do we have you on the line? Area code 267. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Scotty. How you doing, man?
I'm not going to complain too much, Brother Ralph. What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Man, I want to talk about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to know how much that black man was paid to go to a Klan rally and shout Black Lives Matter, because that's basically all it was. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how much some Democratic person, Democratic Party person, paid that man to go on there, because it's already working. I listened to this full show a little bit earlier on terrestrial radio, and you got black people already calling in, they voting for Hillary because they can't trust Trump and any party that has Trump. I said, don't they know they've been played? You know what I mean? Neither party makes the door. Hillary ain't make no promises to black people. Bernie Sanders ain't make no promises to black people. Nobody's making no promises to black, not even the Green Party candidate, and I don't even know who they are. They're not making any promises to black people, Scotty. So here it is again. We had Mitt Romney the last time, and black people didn't like him so much, and some of the stuff he said about the 1% of we voted this clown back in office. Now here it is again. They paid some black man to go in there to a Klan rally, rouse them up, so black people would run to the polls to basically vote for Hillary Clinton. It's a damn shame, man, that our people are so gullible to this nonsense.
You know, but,
that's my take on it, Scotty.
It entered into my mind that this guy might have been paid, but I wasn't thinking by the Democrats or anybody else. I was thinking Trump might have hired him himself.
Right. He could have. That man was paid. You know, a good price to go in there. So, and like I said, they, Alabama, man, a Klan rally.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been.
And, you know, and I'm not going to, and please, don't think that I'm just saying a Republican Party in Alabama, the Democratic Party in New York, mm-hmm. a Klan rally. You know what I mean? So we got to realize what we're up against, man. And I'm sick of politics, because both parties, even with this black puppet in the White House, represent white supremacy, brother. I mean, let's call it like it is. So, you know, that I just had to call you, Scotty, because I think that's where you were getting at, but I don't know. But that's my feelings. That's why it don't even anger me. He was paid handsomely to go in there, because I, you know, when I did used to work politics, they used to pay it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they paid that man to go in there. I don't. It might have been Trump. It might have been Soros. It might have been Clinton. But somebody paid that man to go in there. So he got what he was looking for.
Let me. You know, I was feeling the same way the other day. I was like, you know, I'm just really tired of politics. But that's what I mainly focus on, because politics is a people activity that pretty much governs everything else. When you're talking about passing legislation and putting laws into effect, controlling the purse strings, you know, that of the federal government. And so I am kind of weary of politics, but I think it is a people activity area that we have to stay focused on. But at this point, I'm like, You know, right now we really need to focus on organizing ourselves as a true voting bloc. Right now, we don't have a true voting bloc. You know what I'm saying? We got a bunch of black people that vote, but they are not voting. They're not on the same page. They don't have a strategy. They don't have, you know, they're not making any specific demands, especially, you know, when we look at Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, I disagree with you on Bernie Sanders. I'm not telling anybody to vote for anybody, but I do think that his legislation that he pushed through, he hasn't pushed it through, I should say, introduced to ban private prisons, to also remove, stop the federal prohibition on cannabis. I do think those are two issues right there that should be on a list of demands of black people as a voting bloc. And, you know, I could spend all day talking about why just banning private prisons would be a great start in dismantling the system of modern slavery, because those corporations, man, they spent a lot of money, you know, all throughout the Clinton's political history. You know, they have been getting money from these private prison enslavers, you know, to push these modern slave codes and whatnot that has so many of our people locked up. But like we discussed on New Abolitionist Radio last Wednesday, it appears that Bernie Sanders might just be sheepdogging for Hillary Clinton. Yes, he's introduced this legislation and whatnot, but he doesn't really spend a whole lot of time talking about it and really pushing it, you know. And so these are two major pieces of legislation. You would think they would be the centerpiece of his platform if he's trying to attract black voters, and he's not really going after Hillary Clinton. So I do agree that there's some possibility that he might be sheepdogging for Hillary Clinton. I mean, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on that, Scotty, it's not the electoral process that elects these people anyway. It's the delegates. And if you follow the money's behind Clinton and Bush.
Right.
Trump is just gathering up the racists to let the racists know that, and when I say racist, I'm saying R-A-C-I-S-T. Mm-hmm. He's gathering up the racists to let them know the Republican Party is still with you. Mm-hmm. But I believe the delegates, and that's who votes them in.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I was just reading an article earlier this morning on Hillary Clinton, and they were talking about the very thing you're bringing up. And see, this is all a part of knowing how the game is played and whatnot. And that's why I support, you know, IamOneOfTheMillion.com or the 1 million Black Conscious Voters and Contributors. And, you know, it may take us a few years and whatnot to get black voters where they need to be in terms of being an actual collective and whatnot. But in this article, they were talking about, you know, Hillary Clinton probably already got the super delegates and the delegates sold up, you know. And so it's just a matter of just going through the formalities or, you know, pretending to go through the process, because she's ultimately going to be crowned. And then when you look at what's her name, Debbie Wasserman, the white female out of Florida. And she's been criticized for not having that many debates on the Democratic side, because they feel like, you know, the more debates she involved in, maybe somebody might ask her some real questions, or she might be called to the carpet on some very serious issues. So they've been criticizing her, and I think it's pretty evident that she wants Hillary to get the nomination. But she is among it's like 50 or so Democrats who just recently supported a bill that will continue to allow the automobile industry, you know, like dealerships and stuff, to practice racism in car loans against black people, where they're charging black people, you know, a higher rate simply for being black. And a whole bunch of Democrats support that bill, and she's one of the ones. And so, you know, there you go.
Klan rally, brother. And you know what? And I Am One of a Million had the answer to this. Brother Klingman has a great idea. You know, membership is growing. My hat's off to Brother Klingman, man. That brother is one, he's one of a million. And that's why I'm an active member, but I basically just there for support. You know, our memberships are growing. We got a lot of people on our rolls, man, and that's the only thing that's going to change this. But we got a lot of, Scotty, we have a lot of gullible fools, man. Because when I listen to terrestrial radio, man, I almost want to puke when I hear these people just blindly saying they're going to give their support to Hillary Clinton. You know, there's polls out now saying 72% of African-American women want Hillary Clinton in there. You know, nobody polled my wife.
They didn't poll. Hey, they didn't poll my sister. They didn't poll my mother. They don't. So I'm with you there. Who are these people?
Who are these people that are polling? So no, I just had to call in, man, because you know I'm not even going to get dragged in. That man got paid handsomely for being stomped and beat up. So I'm not even going to feel sorry for him. The Black Lives Matter thing was put out there. I believe it was put out there by some entity. I don't know if it was George Soros or whoever it was. They said it was, but I don't know who it is. All I know is the Democratic Party is using them. Like the Democratic Party is using them.
Trying to, brother,
being used by the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're trying to co-opt the movement. I would say the jury's still out. This is a very young movement. There are a lot of people that have that label Black Lives Matter attached to them, but they've been activists, you know, from day one before, you know, the Michael Brown,
right,
you know, demonstrations and all of that. So I say the jury is still out on them. I'm going to, you know, give them a little bit more time, and time will tell, you know, whether they are going to allow themselves to be co-opted by the Democratic Party. And you're exactly right. The Democratic Party is trying to co-opt them. They pull together a whole bunch of fundraisers and, I mean, big time Democratic Party donors, and trying to see if they'll pony up some cash to go to the 501c3 known as Black Lives Matter. They also passed some kind of platform or something and named Black Lives Matter. And some of the protesters said, no, we ain't part of the Democratic Party. Some of them said, no, we don't want your money. So I think there's still some internal things going on within that movement. And they've yet to fully, I think we don't know what their identity is, so to speak, right now. And so, but time will tell, right, Brother Ralph. And so we should just, you
but
know.
You know what? You are familiar with, I think you even had Glenn Ford on your program.
Yes.
Glenn Ford and Bruce Dixon from Black Agenda Report.
Yes.
Look at their investigation of that. Mm-hmm.
I looked at it, and they raised valid concerns, but I'm just saying, time will tell. Time will tell. Mm-hmm. This is just a very loose-knit, you know, group and whatnot, because, I mean, anybody could put, I mean, going back to this guy, anybody can throw on a shirt to say Black Lives Matter and stand out there and chant Black Lives Matter, but that doesn't mean that they are part of any kind of organized movement or organization or whatnot. So I'm just going to say, for me, the jury is still out. I'm watching them. I do know some people that I know are not sold out, like those Black Lives Matter people in Minneapolis. I know Nakia Levy-Pounds, the law professor up there, and the chapter leader of that NAACP. I've talked to this sister. I've been connected to her through social media. I've interviewed her on New Abolitionist Radio, and she ain't playing. She ain't one of them, you know, phony ones. And, you know, she went to jail over the weekend, you know, a part of the demonstrations that they're doing up there. So that's what I'm just trying to say is that, it, you know, some of those people in that movement associating themselves with that movement, I know personally, and they are not sold out, and they ain't looking for no butter biscuits to sell out.
Right, I got you, Brother Scotty. Well, I just had to call in because that whole situation did bother me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you walk into a mob like that, you better be packed. You better be packed.
I wouldn't even win in there. I wouldn't even win.
I wouldn't even want to go in. I wouldn't even. Matter of fact, this is what I wanted to ask you, Scotty. Before when we say Black Lives Matter, who are we saying that to? Me and you know Black Lives Matter. Well, are we trying to convince these racist thugs? But if we're doing that, then, you know, that's a waste of time movement anyway. If we going out here to each other and telling each other that, they're not going to understand that. But when we go to these old racist, no good, trashy thugs, man, they don't care nothing about you.
And if we haven't gotten that by now,
something's wrong with us.
You know, I wrote about
something's wrong with us.
And you had to ask the individual what that means to them. And I can see both sides of it. They've been criticized for saying Black Lives Matter when evidently Black Lives don't matter to the people. And who are you talking to? If you're talking to, you know, majority white people, then, you know, scientifically they're incapable of feeling empathy. So, or if are you operating from the spiritual and metaphysical position to call those things that be not as though they were, meaning that they may not matter today, but we're going to keep saying it. We're going to speak those positive words that Black Lives Matter, but we're going to put in some work and make them matter. So there's a number of different ways you can look at it. I'm officially not part of the Black Lives Matter movement. So, you know, I can't say, you know, but that's a good question to ask them.
Yes, sir, Brother Scotty. All right. Well, stay strong, man. I appreciate your program, my brother.
All right. Appreciate you too, Brother Ralph. You have a good day.
You too.
All right. We're going to take a station identification break. And then when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about Tea Party activists, this black woman named Katrina Pearson out of Dallas, Texas, who was just recently hired as the national spokesperson for Donald Trump's campaign. All right. And so that's, I wonder how many, you know, man, I wonder how much she getting paid for that. And that's going to be a difficult job for a black person unless, you know, you one of them black people where black lives don't matter to you anyway. So, you know, all that matters to you is the size of them butter biscuits and how much butter they got on them and, you know, all of that. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Remember the telephone number if you have a question or a comment, observation you would like to share. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. That is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. And of course, it's *61, and that will alert me and I'll bring you on air. So I published this article yesterday. Was it yesterday? Did I publish this yesterday? It says today. I must have published it after midnight last night. Anyway, because it's got a today's date on it, but it says Tea Party activist Katrina Pearson says she could not resist Donald Trump's buttery biscuits and whatnot. So before I share some of this story with you from ProxyRacism.com, we added a new feature to the site, and it's one that I'm going to add to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com as well. But we added a feature to the site to where people can submit their own stories about proxy racism. And I'm going to add a feature to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com as well, where you can just submit any news stories or whatnot, you know, that you've written or you want to bring to our attention. And we'll publish those if they're, you know, we find them to be newsworthy and whatnot. So yesterday when I published on social media, I posted the link to the page on proxyracism.com about submit a story about proxy racism. And so, you know, this black person, you know, wasn't none too happy about it. And, you know, they basically made a comment that, you know, we'll go after black people, but we won't go after white people. So I don't know this person. Obviously, this person doesn't know me, but I've been reporting news mainly focused on racism and how political social issues, you know, affect the black community, global black community. And for the past 8 years, 7 years, I think we turned 7 years old. BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, you know, been on the web since 2008, November of 2008 when the website was launched. I don't remember the exact day, but, you know, we turned 7 years old this month. And, you know, not only the programs that I'm involved in, but some of the media partners that we have on the website, certainly, you know, focus on racism. And they focus on racist man and racist woman and whatnot. But so I'm like, you know, this person obviously doesn't know me, doesn't know my work. You know, to say that I don't go after these white races, that's just ludicrous and whatnot. But the reason I brought that up is I think a lot of us, we don't want to focus on ourselves. We want to point the finger at everybody else out there, but we don't want to point the finger at us. And so, again, if you don't know what proxy racism is, it's a term that I coined last year, I think January of last year, in 2014. So this is what I wrote on the website about proxy racism. Proxy racism is when non-white people practice racism and white supremacy as the proxies of racist white supremacists. While they may not have the personal, economic, political, and social power to be racist, they act as the proxy agents for white supremacists and thus enable systemic racism. From my studying of, you know, this very old, ancient problem, at least 5 centuries old, we can go back, you know, without a doubt and say, you know, the world started practicing racism and whatnot. And so from my study of it, that there are black people and other non-white people who align themselves with racists and people they know are racist. Okay. But they don't care. They don't care. What they care about is butter biscuits. And so what is a butter biscuit, you may ask? Well, that just symbolizes, you know, let's take it back to pre-1865 enslavement of black people in the United States of America. And, you know, in order to turn the enslaved Africans against each other, you know, the slave master would show favoritism and whatnot so that he can know what's going on, make sure ain't nobody formulating no plan to burn down the plantation and string him up and his family by their necks as they try to escape the freedom. So, you know, whenever an enslaved African would provide the master with any kind of valuable intelligence on the other black people on the plantation, then he would reward him with butter biscuits from his table, from his dinner table, you know, because, you know, they didn't really feed them too good back then. And, you know, basically that's why black people eating chitlins and hog moss and all kind of stuff today is because, you know, they got the scraps and whatnot from the master's butchering of animals and whatnot. So, you know, butter biscuit, man, that's like a treat, man. That's like a treat. So that, you know, butter biscuits is just simply a metaphor for money, for favors, for, you know, some kind of advantage or whatnot, a reward that you would get for aiding the system of racism and or aiding racists. And so, you know, that can also occur consciously, where you're just consciously aiding a system of racism, consciously aiding racist people and whatnot. Or you can be doing it unconsciously. You could be doing it unconsciously and you don't know, you know, that you're doing it because you just didn't see it that way. But, you know, we on the outside looking in and we can see elements of proxy racism. You know, there are former prison guards that I have talked to on this network that have said that, you know, they at the time they was working in the prisons, they didn't see it as they were aiding and abetting the enslavement of mainly black people, along with other people, Hispanics, Native Americans, and poor whites and whatnot, but primarily black people, and they didn't see it as a continuation of slavery, and, you know, they just wanted a job and whatnot. But then they came into the consciousness that what they were part of was not correct, and they didn't want to be a part of that, so they quit, and they found another means to feed themselves. So there are many different ways that we practice proxy racism, but the ones that I focus on the most are the ones that I feel like are consciously aiding a system just so that they can get a reward, so they can get some buttery biscuits and whatnot. So if you don't know, you know, now you know. Now you know. So anyway, Donald Trump hired Katrina Pearson. Again, she's out of Dallas, Texas, a longtime Tea Partier, a former Ted Cruz supporter, and she still supports Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz didn't offer her the same amount of butter biscuits that Trump offered her, so she jumped ship, and she's now a Trump supporter, and now she's more than just a Trump supporter. She is his national spokesperson. So she was very, this is what I could find out about her. She was very vocal and exuberant in her 2012 support of Ted Cruz's U.S. senatorial campaign. Of course, Ted Cruz is from Texas, like she's from Texas. Texas is notorious for racial profiling, targeting black and brown people. Texas police were recently caught breaking a law meant to gather data on motorists. Stops initiated by officers, and what happened was they were changing, like this law said that you got to write down the race or racial classification of the people that you writing tickets to, and so they would stop black and brown people, but they would put them down as being white, and this was them breaking the law, so it doesn't seem like we're targeting black people when we really are. So we're going to say, you know, on this piece of paper that, oh, we stopped a white person, and that, you know, this was not non-black people. I mean, excuse me, this wasn't non-white people, so we're not practicing racism. So I haven't seen anything about her speaking out on racial profiling that's happening in her state. Ted Cruz, he helped block the confirmation of Debo Adegbale. Y'all remember him? He was set to be appointed to the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. Ted Cruz went on a long speech on the floor blocking Adegbale's appointment. And what he was doing was doing nothing but repeating police union propaganda that was opposing Adegbale's appointment solely because of his legal work through his employer, which I think was the NAACP Legal Defense Fund at the time. And he worked on the case of U.S. held political prisoner and journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. So what I'm saying is, you know, Ted Cruz has a very long documented history of practicing racism and whatnot, and you know, she didn't have problems supporting him. So again, I'm not blaming her for the racist practices of people like Donald Trump or Donald Cruz, but you know, when we see black people trying to help put these people in the office or offering them any kind of support or cover from their racist acts, then we do have to question that person's judgment, we have to question that person's character. And their mental health should also be questioned, you know. Really? Now, this is what she said. This is what she said that, you know, made it without a doubt that she is doing this because of the butter biscuits that he offered her. And so she says that Cruz would be a good president, but I think right now with all the hyper partisanship in the country, I think Trump would be the better person to transition out of Obama. It would be a softer transition for some on the left. It would be a harder transition for some on the right. Then she would want to say, when Donald says, I think you're great, I really want you to work for me, I don't think any sane person would say no to that. So, you know, I would have to say, as a black person, you know, you can't be sane if you want to attach yourself to this man's campaign. But I understand that Donald Trump makes a great butter biscuit and whatnot, and, you know, leaves I think he might even put some honey on his butter biscuits and whatnot, but she just couldn't say no. She couldn't say no. Even made her turn on her other racist guy, Ted Cruz, and, you know, she said Ted's still a great person who would make a great president and whatnot, but, you know, Donald Trump has offered me these butter biscuits, so I'm now on Team Trump. So Donald Trump, again, got a racist history. Y'all remember he kicked out that Hispanic reporter who asked him about his racism towards Hispanics and whatnot. And Donald Trump kicked him out of the press conference, had him physically removed. And so, again, you know, you have to swallow all your pride. And she's probably one of those people that, you know, she's American, and she probably don't include African in it nowhere, and I don't know, but I know she ain't said nothing about this black man getting beat up and whatnot. I checked out her Twitter page, I checked out her blog and whatnot, and, you know, I haven't seen her issuing any statements in relation to this black man getting beat up at this Trump Klan rally, as Brother Ralph just said to us, and I don't suspect that she will say anything. I think that she'll probably ignore all of these instances where black people are involved and whatnot. Trump himself, you know, he can pretty much speak for himself, so I don't even know why he hired a national spokesperson, unless, you know, this is an affirmative action hire or whatnot, and he wants to show that, you know, he values black women and whatnot, and he's going to give her some great butter biscuits and whatnot. So, yeah, Trump really doesn't need a spokesperson. As you can see, he ain't got a problem with running his mouth. So it remains to be seen how this woman plans to do her job. All right, let me see. What do we have coming up next? Let's see the next story. Is concerning these black men in Chicago who are calling for calm in the city ahead of the release of the video showing Chicago cop Jason Van Dyke, who has not been fired, has not been charged in the shooting death, the murder, if you will, the blatant street execution of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald, whom he shot 16 times in the back. And a judge just recently ordered that the city cannot withhold the video. It's part of the public record, and the public has a right to see the video, and so you're going to have to release it. And that is what has prompted these black men to come out in the snow and call for calm in the city. We're going to take a station identification break, kick some message music. We'll come back, and that'll be the first story that we jump on. Remember, if you have a question or comment, you can dial in to the conference line, or you can hit us up on the studio line. We will be right back here in just a bit. Keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio Network.
What is racial showcasing? That means taking huge numbers of black people and putting them out front. There's going to be more of this all over the planet. Many, many millions of black people that you will see who will be rolling in money. They'll be able to showcase the places where they live. They'll be able to showcase their knowledge and expertise. So you have television now, you have all of the mediums for doing this, for showcasing huge numbers of black people. I will say it will eventually run into the millions, so many that you won't be able to count them. Now, what is this for? This is for any black person that starts talking about racism in the future is going to be laughed at, because they're going to be able to showcase so many black people who are...
This is Ron Haynes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Leaders in Chicago's African American community are calling for calm ahead of what could be a contentious week. The city must release a dash cam video showing a white Chicago police officer killing an African American teen. Tonight, Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Gallardo has more on the people calling for peaceful protests.
Nearly 200 strong, they came together to call for peace. Neither the cold nor the snowy weather was going to stop the men of Alpha Phi Alpha, an African-American fraternity which counts many of the city's leaders among its ranks.
We want people to see the positive professional males that are in our communities.
The fight against violence was top of mind today, but also a growing concern regarding the impending release of dashcam video showing a white police officer fatally shooting a black teenager last October. 17-year-old Laquan McDonald was shot in the back 16 times, some gunshots hitting him after he had fallen on the pavement.
Chicago is on a tipping point. We can be just like Ferguson.
It was just 2 days ago a Cook County judge ordered the video to be released against the city's wishes. The police officer in question is still on the job, on desk duty, while the city completes its investigation. Reverend Jesse Jackson today called for the officer to be indicted and said a top-to-bottom change is necessary in both the Chicago Police Department and the state's attorney's office.
I have high regard for Mr. McCarthy as a person. His job, he's lost credibility. The police department is no longer credible.
Police say McDonald was carrying a knife. The shooting took place while officers responded to a report of vehicle break-ins in a trucking yard. The dash cam video captured the end of the confrontation. Many fear its viewing might spark riots similar to those seen in other parts of the country.
As incendiary as this video may be, and we've all heard the rumors of how incendiary may be, remain calm. Don't incite violence in our community. Don't exact violence on our community. But let's use that energy into a positive way.
The city has until Wednesday to release the video. On the South Side, I'm Michelle Gallardo, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez says a decision is expected next week on whether to charge the officer in Laquan McDonald's shooting. Alvarez said that she is not opposing the release of the video. Last night at 10 o'clock, we incorrectly reported Alvarez had declined charges in the case.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. So that's a report out of Chicago. And as you heard, you have these black men who are coming out. And they're calling for calm in the city. And I have to say that, you know, I agree with them that there doesn't need to be any widespread violence or any, you know, burning down the buildings or anything like that. Because all it's going to do is give them license to go in and shoot up a bunch of unarmed black people. And just, you know, I just don't want to see black people being harmed. And so I didn't hear what he suggested would be more constructive than, you know, using violence out of frustration against a system that has been, you know, just been murdering you. You know, Chicago police, you heard Jesse Jackson say the Chicago police being no longer being credible and whatnot. The Chicago police ain't never been credible, in my opinion, man. They got a long, 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 long history. Not as long as the NYPD, not as long as the Boston Police Department, but, you know, Chicago has a long, 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 long history of police terrorism against black people, all right? Holman Square, you know, and I ain't even talking about ancient history, I'm talking about recent history. Holman Square is a story we have reported on where they were snatching people up off the street and taking them to this warehouse and not allowing, you know, their family members or attorneys to know where they were and torturing these people, trying to get solicit confessions out of them. You know, this is like a CIA, quote-unquote, black site, disappearing people, never to be seen or heard of again and whatnot. So they operating stuff like that up there in Chicago. We've had Mark Clements on, who is the president of No More Death Penalty and a victim of former Chicago police captain John Burge, all right, who tortured a whole bunch of men into confessing the crimes that they did not commit. And, you know, I think Chicago City has paid a settlement to some of those men. But from what I've heard from Mark Clemens is, you know, there's perhaps hundreds of more still behind bars who are fighting to get new trials based on the fact that they were tortured into confessing by John Burge and his gang of thugs at the Chicago Police Department. So the Chicago Police Department ain't never been, you know, credible. I mean, I don't know what's your definition of credible. So anyway, if there's some violence that happens as a result of this video being released, from what I've heard, is just very atrocious. That, you know, this young man was walking away from the officers and this one cop just decided to open up fire on this young man, shooting him in the back even after he went down, was on the ground, continued to shoot him up to 16 times. I mean, that, unless somebody has some other information, I don't think that any other cops pulled the trigger. And so if he shot him, as according to the coroner report, 16 times, that means that he probably had to reload I don't know if he was using a revolver. A revolver, of course, would only be 6 shots, but they had those speed loaders for revolvers, and he could easily, you know, just snap in. Or I don't know, but I don't think he was there's any clips for any handguns that's holding 16 shots. I don't know. Maybe. Possible. I don't know. I suspect that I think the most that I've had a handgun held was something like 10 to 12. So, I mean, it's like possible that he had to even put in a fresh clip and continue to shoot this young man, Laquan McDonald. And so they're saying that this video is so egregious, just so outrageous, that they're afraid that, you know, people are going to resort to violence out of anger and whatnot. And if they do, it would totally be justified, even though I'm saying I don't think it would be constructive. I think it would be justified. Hell, the United States bombs entire nations back into the Stone Ages, you know, over crimes that they say is committed against the United States, which is usually a bunch of lies and whatnot. But without going into that, you know, violence, you know, why it may not be constructive on every level, I would say if some violence result as a result of this video coming out, then hell, I don't blame anybody but this cop. That's who the blame should be put on. Jason Van Dyke, I found some of his Facebook photos and whatnot where he's proud to call himself an infidel. And again, this man has a history from complaints made against him. Of course, the Chicago police didn't substantiate him because they, you know, their job isn't to weed out the bad cops and stuff, because they're all part of the same gang. No, they cover up for each other, no snitching and whatnot. And so, but this man has a history of complaints being filed against him for not only the excessive violence that he was using against non-white people, but while yelling racial slurs at him while he was doing it. So they let this man stay on the police force, and now it's resulted in him murdering somebody. And now you concerned about, you know, black people getting upset and resorting to violence after this man then violently ended the life of a child, of a 17-year-old boy. Not a grown man. No, he's 17 years old. He's a child. Still, we might call him a young man, but, you know, technically he's a child, 17 years old. So if any violence does happen, then all blame rests not on the people who act out of frustration and use violence, whether it's smashing police cars or attacking the police themselves. I would leave that on the doorstep of, you know, that city's leaders and whatnot, Rahm Emanuel, whoever the police commissioner is. Hell, you know, y'all did this, you know, nobody else to be blamed for this but you, because that's the kind of place that y'all running, you know, a department full of thugs and murderers. whose primary mission is to put people into slavery. So, you know, those black men going out in the snow, holding hands and saying, you know, we want to put forth a face of black professionals in the city and call on the city to be calm. And, you know, I'm not going to say anything negative about them and whatnot. And, you know, I think they're giving some good advice and coming from a good place in that they're concerned about further loss of black life in their city. At least that's where I think they're coming from. I could totally be wrong, but, you know, whatever happens, happens. And it is the fault of the Chicago police. It is the fault of Jason Van Dyke for murdering this young black man. It's the fault of the prosecutor, Anita Alvarez, who is also, I've heard her name time and time again, coming up in cases of injustice and failure to prosecute criminals, especially when those criminals are cops and whatnot. And so I think if you got this video and you concerned about it, you know, causing mass violence and unrest in the city because it's so egregious, I would have to say, man, what are you waiting on? What more do you need to see Anita Alvarez to file charges on this man? This man's still collecting a paycheck. He's probably sitting at his desk right now playing Tetris or on Facebook or something like that. You know, on desk duty, shooting the breeze with his fellow slave catchers and whatnot. So I mean, she could head that off right now by charging this guy ahead of the release of the video. You know, and then people want to talk about Ferguson. They don't want this to be another Ferguson. Now, I don't get the full context of what that black man was using. But let's not forget, black people did not start the violence in Ferguson, all right? The violence was started by the police, by Darren Wilson, gunning down and murdering Michael Brown. And then when those people decided, some of the people in the community decided they were going to engage in civil disobedience and acts of nonviolence, like the children who started blocking the street, sitting in a circle, Indian style, holding hands and whatnot, and then the police attacked them with rubber bullets and sicking dogs on them. And that's when the violence escalated. That's when the convenience store got burnt down. All right. And then the other violence, you know, was in retaliation for police trying to prevent people from exercising their constitutional rights. Indeed, their human rights of freedom of expression, freedom of demonstration, freedom to assemble. You know, they weren't doing anything incorrect. Well, the incorrectness came on the part of the police with all their military equipment given to them by Congress and whatnot, and trying to stop these people from engaging in their rights to demonstrate, to assemble, to block traffic if that's what they chose to do, to get their message, make their message heard. So they didn't start the violence. The police started the violence. Didn't you see them shooting at them people, shooting tear gas at them and all of that, pointing their guns at unarmed people? You know, we interviewed a couple of people that was on the ground and saying, you know, just how out of control the police were. So let's make no mistake who initiates any of this violence. And I'm not a person who is going to say any option should be left out the table. Hell, they use violence, so, you know, we have to be willing to use violence strategically, just not blind violence and just, you know, out there running around and attacking every person who we think is an enemy of the community. But I am not against violence. Violence is being used against us. So I'm not against violent resistance, but in this particular case, I would say, you know, again, that I'm going to echo the calls, and that once this video is released, I hope that there's not any widespread mass violence as people react in anger, because my concern is for them. I don't want them to become the next Laquan McDonald. I don't want to see them getting gunned down. So just be careful out there. Be codified, operating behind these enemy lines. All right, the Next story that I would like to share. Let me check the phone lines. Okay, nobody wants to weigh in, so I'll move on to the next story. A group of Detroit activists actually shut down a convenience store after a clerk pointed out what turned out to be a toy gun at two black children. And I will go into this report and let you hear this report coming to you out of Detroit.
When new at 11, in angry protest, dozens of people swarmed a Detroit gas station where the clerk is accused of pulling out a toy gun on some young boys. 7 Action News reporter Aaron Baskerville is live on the city's west side tonight, where the protesters were certainly outraged. Aaron, what happened?
Yeah, Carolyn, protesters were extremely angry out here. They were out here for several hours, but right now it's back to normal at this gas station. But like I said, it was shut down for at least 2 hours. Protesters came out here demanding to see surveillance video. They also wanted to see a worker get fired.
I want y'all to look at that brother right there in that orange hat.
Uh-huh.
He is not allowed to be in our city again. Ever.
They wouldn't take no for an answer, demanding a store clerk be fired at this gas station near 8 Mile and Southfield in Detroit.
Okay, we out here for the kids today. The kids, there's the reason that we out here today.
Dozens of protesters swarmed the area. Soon officers showed up in force as well. The mother stood by watching. Angry, the clerk pulled a toy gun on her 14 and 11-year-old sons last week inside the store.
He's a child, and he should never have to experience that kind of reaction to that.
Okay. I don't, man. That's why I let him go. The owner tried to calm everyone down, announcing the worker has been let go. And then we caught up with that man. Why did you do it?
Something happened I can't explain. I'm sorry. I apologize. Where's that? Where's mouth for everybody?
The owner tells us the worker was trying to scare the boys, claiming they were stealing. The boy's family says that's not true at all. We're told the 11-year-old was actually shot last year in the neck.
We've been trying to get that out, you know, that fear away from him. And now that fear came back when this man pulled his gun out.
This was all over a bag of chips. The father says he wants to press charges. Also, another note, there was some sort of issue with the surveillance video, so some of those protesters are coming back here tomorrow to see it. For now, we're live in Detroit, Aaron Baskerville, 7 Action News.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. And I first heard about this story from Sister Ife on Facebook, as she lives in Detroit, a black business owner and whatnot. So she had posted a whole lot of photographs from the rally. And this is what she said. She said that they had been having like regular community meetings and whatnot, and that this mother came to one of the meetings and told what happened to her son and asked the demonstrators, or excuse me, the community activists in attendance, what, you know, if they had any suggestions or any plans to do something about this store clerk pointing a gun at her sons. And so they went to the gas station and they shut it down. They wouldn't let any cars come into the gas station. You can see the photos of them blocking the entrance to the driveway, you know, to get to the gas pumps and whatnot. And they stayed out there until their demands were met that this man be fired for pulling out this toy gun on these children. And these children didn't know it was a toy gun or whatnot. But as you could hear, he couldn't explain his actions. He knows that was incorrect or whatnot. That's not how you know, handle children. But anyway, so they shut it down, and now this guy has been fired. But I have not seen any reports recently or any updates on whether or not the activists saw the video, if the video's been released on the internet, or whether or not Detroit police will press any charges. I don't know if you can press charges for somebody pointing a toy gun at them, but I guess, you know, that could be seen as like an assault, like in a simple assault, because, you know, your intent was to intimidate, to use fear, to, you know, impact these children. So, you know, they can get very creative with criminal charges and whatnot. So it could be looked upon as an assault, because it doesn't matter it was a toy gun. What matters is what your intent was, and that these boys thought it was a real gun. So, so big shout out to the activists going by New Era Detroit. New Era Detroit, good job. In this specific case of this person mistreating these young boys in your community. All right, so I definitely wanted to share that positive story with you. And when I say positive, I'm talking about positive in terms of the community reaction to this incorrect behavior on behalf of this store clerk, or I should say former store clerk, who has been fired. All right, the next story that I want to share with you, the next to last story that I'll share with you, and coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show, we'll be talking about banking contracts of debt and how they are used as a financial warrant for your destruction. And so they will be talking about money as debt today on Tando Radio Show. All right, so the next story, though, that I want to share with you pertains to this black woman who made a video which is going viral, or has gone viral, is being featured on a number of websites and whatnot, and where she is stating that racism is not a feeling. We don't feel like, you know, people are practicing racism. We know people are practicing racism, and so I want to share that video with you. Her comments on the racism that she is facing, that other black people are facing, and how, you know, these non-black people want to clown us and whatnot. So, yeah, we'll take a quick listen to that. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind enemy lines. This is this black woman issuing some statements about racism in the United States.
I have a lot of people saying a lot of hateful things to me, but they tell me that I'm practicing racism and I'm expressing it and I'm spreading it. Let me tell you something. Racism isn't a feeling. Racism isn't the way that I feel about you as a person based off of your skin color. You can pull out all of your Webster dictionary definitions if you want to, but there are a lot of things in the Webster's dictionary that are not being actually followed by the actual definition, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm a black person. I experience racism. I'm telling you that I experience racism and that I know what racism is. So for you to come and try to tell me that I'm being racist because I'm telling black people that they need to love themselves, that I'm saying that black people are worth more, that I'm saying that black people shouldn't be slaughtered at alarming numbers in various different ways all over the world by our oppressors, and that it's coming from a general location, and that I'm noticing this, and we're telling you this. We're having this conversation with you. We're telling you all the time about the things that we're going through as black people, but you dismiss our claims. You dismiss everything that we say, and you say that we're complaining and that we should be grateful. Let me tell you something. Slavery lasted hundreds of years. The psychological warfare that was implemented on African people over those years and afterwards during the Jim Crow era, and even now, has a significant, significant effect on our people. Not only that, not only is it psychological warfare, systematic racism is real. It's not a joke. It's not something that we keep making up to talk about. It's not something that we're just complaining about because we're lazy niggers. This is our lives. So for you to get on Facebook or to get anywhere in our faces or anywhere where we're trying to speak and let ourselves be known and tell us that what we're talking about is irrelevant to you, that lets me know you just need to keep it moving. Bye. Goodbye. Black people created almost everything that we use. Just because you were taught in history class that Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, it does not mean that that is the truth. You want to think about all of these other conspiracy theories, but when it comes to black people, all of a sudden we're being irrational. When it comes to black people telling you about their real experiences, like the fact that Sandra Bland was not the first person to be hung in a prison cell. We're telling you these things. But you sit up here and you want to tell us that we're lying, that we're overreacting, and that what about the Indians? And what about the Jews? And what about the other people that were persecuted? Basically to say, F what you're talking about. It doesn't matter what you went through because this over here. It doesn't matter what you're still going through because this over here. What you need to understand is that every other group of people that was oppressed by Europeans or Caucasians, now whatever you want to call them now, since I can't really say white people, and if I do say white people, everybody wants to jump in that bag and put the racist shoes on and make it seem like I'm talking to them. If you can't control the system, then I'm not talking to you. If you can't keep me from getting a job, then I'm not talking to you. If you are in poverty as a white person, then I'm not talking to you. Coon does not mean white person. Back to what I was saying. Systematic racism is real. There are things set up to keep black people oppressed. They redlined us into the hood. We live in the ghetto because during the times when they were passing out free home loans and free land to Caucasian people, they denied it to black people. So our ancestors didn't have a chance to gain wealth. They pushed us into these neighborhoods. They wouldn't have jobs. Took our jobs. Every time we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, they bomb every city that we build. Tulsa, Oklahoma, i.e. Just because I speak with emotion does not mean that I'm uneducated. I can speak with an extensive vocabulary just like the rest of you. I curse because that's the way that I talk as a natural person. That's who I am. I don't jump on here and try to be somebody that I'm not. When I make these videos, I'm not asking your permission to do anything. I'm not asking white people to join hands with me. Because what you need to understand is that while you sit up here bringing up all of these other races that went through oppression, all of them got reparations in some type of way and black people did not. Because then that would mean that the European society in the whole in America and all over the world would have to admit that they were at fault somehow. And every single time we bring up slavery and the things that we go through, y'all love to franchise off of it and make movies about it, but you don't want to sit up here and give us our money. You don't want to tell us that. You don't want to say it was wrong for y'all to do it. Or you'll say it and be like, oh, that's a negative thing of our past, but we got to move on. Y'all bring up 9/11 every year. You give us 1 month to celebrate our history, which the only thing that y'all talk about is Malcolm X, Harriet Tubman, and maybe even Martin Luther King for sure, because he's for integration. And when I say that black people need to segregate, I'm not saying that we need to get far away from white people and not associate with them at all. What I'm saying is that we need to build our own lucrative neighborhoods. We need to police our own neighborhoods because everything else has not been working. So, for anybody who wants to come and give me advice on what I need to be doing, please tell me how it's working for you. Tell me what you're doing. And white people, please understand that if you decide to put those racist boots on, according to the people that I'm talking to, if you decide to put yourself in that box, go ahead. Get offended all you want. But y'all gonna stop jumping on here disrespecting the people that I'm talking to, because I love my people. And me having love for black people has nothing to do with you. But since you feel like it does, that lets me know that you have disregard for everything that we go through. There are not enough white people taking up for us. There aren't. Sorry, there aren't. We are scared to drive our cars. We're scared to get pulled over. It's like sharks coming behind us. And for you to tell us that that's unjustified because a few police officers are nice, y'all act like y'all don't cross the street or hold your purses close. You know how many times a white woman has stepped to the side or stepped back when I got on the elevator like I was in her way? Figure that out first before you try to come and tell us that our struggles mean nothing. Because at the end of the day, I'm not about to stop. I'm going to keep saying what I want to say. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. I do this for my people. I do this for black people. I do this to educate black people because we are worth it. Thank you, guys.
Amen to the sister. Black people are worth it. We're worth it. So apparently she's reacting to some comments that she has been getting on the videos of the social commentary that she posts to social media. And so my only advice would be to her is, you know, don't let them racists get you upset. Just ignore them. That's what I do a lot of times. I just delete their comments. You know, if I don't want it or if I'm feeling particularly mischievous that day and I want to put some fear into some white racist heart, then if they come to Black Talk Radio Network and they leave some kind of racist comment or whatnot, well, you know, every website that you go to on the internet is going to record your IP address. Once you have that IP address, you can get a physical location. And so, you know, there's been at least twice in a few years where I have gotten pictures of these people's homes or locations from Google Satellite after I put in their IP addresses, after they done left some racist comment or a threat on the website or blog or something like, and I'll just send them their email. I'll send them an email of the picture of their house, and that's about it. I don't say anything else to them, and, you know, they get the message. They get the message. So, but, you know, for the most part, I will just delete their comments for whatever reason. We had a whole bunch of white people comment on the site here recently and was, you know, leaving racist comments and whatnot on some of the different blogs. I just deleted them. I'll just delete and go, I don't want to subject any black person to that sort of ignorance associated with racist and whatnot. So I just delete it and I don't even, you know, and move on. So I wouldn't care two bits about what these people have to say in terms of the work that we do in terms of putting out information to our people. But one of the things, though, that I would correct her on is slavery. Talking about slavery in past tense, sister, is still with us. Slavery ain't never been abolished. All right. It was just amended by the 13th Amendment. And what we call mass incarceration is a continuation of slavery. And she acknowledges, you know, about the history. We only get so much of our history and only a few select individuals. And, you know, one of the things that I have been saying a lot on social media or on my program is black people, you need to find out your own specific family history and stop assuming that you're the descendant of enslaved Africans. Certainly, if you are the descendant of enslaved Africans, you need to know that. But every person needs to know what their family lineage and history is and start assuming that, you know, the only way that we contributed to the building of this country was as enslaved Africans, because that's not true. There has always been free Africans on this continent. Before there was a United States of America, black people have lived here. All right. And so even when, you know, enslaved Africans were brought over here by the boatload, there were always free black people that existed and were not enslaved. And a lot of those black people worked to free or worked to end slavery that you're not taught about. You don't know their names and whatnot. And, you know, I can't recall any individuals specifically by name, but that's why we do the Abolitionist Profile on New Abolitionist Radio every Wednesday night, to identify black people, you know, even though we'll highlight some white folks as well. But mainly we try to stick to black people who were abolitionists fighting to end slavery, whether they were formerly enslaved themselves or if they were free people all their lives and they saw the incorrectness of enslaving other human beings. So there's just so much of history that we don't know that's being hidden from us. But now we have the tools, we have the internet, different means to where you can track down your own history and know. But one thing is for certain, though, that, you know, she was on point about is anytime that we have built something, come together, been prosperous and whatnot, there were those terrorists who came to destroy what we were doing. All right. And so it's important to know our history as a people, but also as individual families. So let's stop assuming that all black people were enslaved Africans. We have contributed to this place in more ways than one. And it's important that we acknowledge that. Not all of us were proxy racists. Not all of us was just trying to keep our head down and hope that we was never kidnapped and put into slavery. But one thing is for certain, we have all faced an unjust system of racism in this country being practiced by racists. And she's exactly right. And it's not so much that I want white people standing up for me or defending me or anything like that. No, you, if you are an individual who believes in practicing justice and you are opposed to injustice, then you need to just do it for that principle right there. You need to be opposed to racism. You need to be taking action against racism. Black people shouldn't have, be the only ones who fight against it. And it's not that you're taking up for us or anything, but if you want this country to move forward, if you don't want to be impacted by the increasing violence and unrest that we are seeing across this land, then you need to do something then. If you want to live in peace, then you need to work for that peace. If not, then, you know, may hell come your way. You deserve it. Last story that I want to talk about, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on, but you can check out the article that I have posted. Electronic Intifada.net. Israeli police officer, we saw a number of them. Wasn't just one, but he was caught on video beating up a Palestinian-American teenager who went over there and was participating in protests and demonstrations after these white supremacists kidnapped his cousin and set him on fire and whatnot, murdered him. And so he was participating in demonstrations and he was attacked by these Israeli police officers who knocked him out, knocked him unconscious, and then was even still beating on him while he was handcuffed and whatnot. Well, one of the cops, only one, got charged with a crime, and then he only got 45 days, I think community service, something like that, you know. Let me pull up that story. 45 days of community service. Yeah, he ain't even go to jail. Not even 45 days in jail. He got to do community service for savagely beating this Palestinian-American teen. The State Department weighed in, said they were disappointed after learning that this Israeli cop who severely beat up American teenager Tariq Abu Qadir in July 2014 was spared prison time. That's what the U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby said during a press briefing last Thursday. Kirby said, given the clear evidence captured on videotape of the excessive use of force, it is difficult to see how this sentence would promote full accountability for the actions of the police officer in this case. And see, he didn't even bring up the fact that, hell, it was more than one on that video beating on that young man and savagely beating him up and brutalizing him and whatnot. But that was pretty much about it. That's all the Obama administration through the Justice Department had to say. They didn't say we're going to stop providing Israel with any more U.S. taxpayer dollars since you want to brutalize, you know, American citizens and whatnot. We're not going to punish you by... No, in fact, you got Hillary Clinton saying that, you know, I'm actually going to work to stop any of the international boycotts of Israeli products because they practicing racism and whatnot against Palestinians, against black people, against African refugees and whatnot. So, but for what it's worth, the Obama administration, through various spokespeople said that, you know, oh, this is just so sad. This isn't holding this man accountable. And, yeah, sending the wrong message. But, you know, that's about it. That's about all I expect. I don't expect them, the corporation that's practicing so much injustice throughout the world, and I'm talking about USA Inc., to hold any kind of a meaningful accountability on behalf of the Israelis. No, I don't expect that at all. All right, so that's my program. I will be back on air tomorrow, Tuesday, at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Black Talk Radio Network. I do want to remind you of the Black Talk Media Project fundraiser, which is ongoing and will continue to be ongoing. This is listener-funded radio, not only this website, not only this radio station, but all the different things we are doing. It does cost money. I noticed we got an unusual amount of visitors today, and the server got overwhelmed because of the number of visitors. And so, you know, I need to increase the resources of the server, but that's going to cost money. So definitely want to thank those who are donors. Some give more than once, some give every month, and I just want to thank a few of the people. Christina A, Wiley W, Gloria W, Deidre A, Philip K, and John C, just to name a few. Just want to thank you for your continued financial support of the Black Talk Media Project, which is the manager of BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, as well as ProxyRacism.com, and helps to help other black people who want to learn how to become independent black media producers in the area of digital radio and podcasting. All right, again, Tando Radio Show will be coming on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We will just play some music until he comes on air live. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. So it is best that you develop some battlefield skills, develop and heighten your battlefield awareness so that you can decrease the likelihood that you will become a casualty out there on the battlefield. Again, I'll be back on air tomorrow. And until then, peace and blessing to all.
No, it really isn't. Because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing. And people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. Except you mean in, you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are or how tall you are, or who your cousin was, or anything like that, or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag if you don't believe in not mistreating people. You've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.